Welcome to the Seeds Excess Youth Podcast. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Friday night service. You make me feel so.
Hey guys, great to see you, good to be back. Can I have those lights down just a little bit? It's a pretty epic mosh pit tonight. I feel like you guys are so far away. Who had a good holidays? Anyone? Anyone go away? All right, on the count of three, can you yell out where you went? Three, two, one. No idea, but that's all good. Sounds good, guys. I have to admit today, guys, I've had a bit of a hard day. I'm in a bit of mourning at the moment. My favourite basketball player, Kristaps Porzingis, got traded away. Woke up to this sad news, but I'm so excited to be back at Excess, and it's really getting me through. But seriously, I'm excited for this year. I'm excited for what God has in plan for us. So let's get stuck right into it tonight. I know another time in my life that I was excited. And that was the day that I proposed to my now wife, Jazz. So I had it all planned out. I was like, this is how I'm going to do it in my head. I feel like there's so many expectations these days. But anyway, I was going to do it on the day that was the anniversary of when we started dating. I was going to do it at Mount Osmond. Has anyone been to Mount Osmond before? It's this fantastic hill that looks out over the city. You've got this like 180 view. If you want an idea for a date night or maybe get your knee dirty and propose yourself, hit me up. Great spot. So I planned out the whole day. And this is what I was going to do. So we went to church. Earlier that morning, I had a sign that said, marry me. And so I hid that under this tree, this bush at Mount Osmond. And so we went to church. We went to the movies. I had this ring in my pocket. It was almost burning in my pocket throughout that day. And then we went to a picnic at Mount Osmond. So we're looking out over the city, fantastic view. We're chatting for a little bit, eating some food. But I couldn't think of anything else but this ring that was in my pocket. The issue was that I needed to get down to this sign 30 metres down the hill to grab this sign to say, marry me. And so I told Jazz, I'm like, Jazz, I need to go to the toilet. So I walked down 30 metres down to where my sign was hidden. I grabbed my sign. I didn't go to the toilet, just in case you were wondering. And I walk out and I hold up this sign that says, marry me. I think you might be able to see a photo. This is not the actual photo. Jazz didn't stop and take a photo. But this is a bit of the recreation. And so you can see it's pretty small, so it took a little while for Jazz to notice it. And I'm holding it up there, saying, marry me. It seemed like forever. And then finally I saw that she noticed. She stood up and put her hands on her face. I'm like, here we go. I'm going to get a response. So normally when you propose, there's two different responses that you can get. There's either the one that I was hoping for, a real loud yes, scream, maybe run down to me in joy, maybe even a bit of crying. Crying would have been nice. And then there's the one that you dread, the one that you see on those cringeworthy basketball games where someone gets down on one knee and they propose and then the person runs away or maybe they yell out no. But for me, I didn't get either. So I was like, this is a bit strange. So the response that I get, Jazz loves me telling this story, is I'm holding up the marry me sign. She realizes, and her first words are not yes, they're not no, they're, is this for real? Is this for real, Matt? Is this a joke? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that would be a really bad joke. Probably a bit of my fault because I joke around all the time, but I ignored that. I pushed through, walked up to her, got down on one knee, asked the question, the rest is history. But it's still stuck in my mind, this question that Jazz asked, is this for real? And that's what I'm going to focus on tonight, is this for real? And the fact that we don't actually have to ask this question in regard to the love that God has for us. Is it for real? So I wonder, in your life, around God, how do your friends view Christians, followers of Jesus? How do they view you? Or maybe yourself, you're not a Christian. You don't believe in God. You don't follow God. How do you actually view Christians? What do you think of them? What do you think they're known for? They can be known for many different things. It might be that the thing that they're known for is what they're actually against. It might be that they're known that they swear less. Maybe they drink less. You probably know that they attend church. Maybe you know that they watch VeggieTales growing up. Maybe they still watch VeggieTales. Maybe they have a fish sticker on their car. You're probably thinking, why are all these fish stickers on cars? It's odd. And I don't want to say tonight that going to church, swearing less, is bad. They're great things, but I don't believe that this is the foundation of our faith, the crux of what Jesus came to earth for. Rather, it's one of love, a love that is real, and it's accompanied with real action. And therefore, if God's love is for real, then how are we to respond to this? And as Christians, followers of Jesus, what are we actually to be known for? So first of all, what is love? Love gets many definitions. It could be that red love heart. It could be that feeling of butterflies in your stomach, that floating on cloud nine, that feeling when you text your crush and you hit send and then you're freaking out, like, how are they going to respond? Some of you are snickering. Some of that might have happened to you recently. And then you get that response and you're either dejected or you're on cloud nine, you're jumping up and down. And all they did was say hi back. But it might even be from something that you watch on TV. It could be a movie such as Twilight. It could be a TV show. There are so many like dating shows on TV. Like you flick it on, it's like Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise, Marry My Boy, something about never meeting each other. I don't know what it is. There's lots of these shows about love, and all these people they're looking for love. Or most of them are looking for love. Some of them are just looking to be famous. They seem to be on each and every different one. But that's like all of us. All of us actually have this craving for love in our lives. Whether we think it or not, we want to feel accepted. We want to be cared for. We want to be valued. I think we all have a longing for belonging. But when we talk about love, love is not just a feeling, something that seems nice. But rather, love is actually shown in an action. It's not just words, but it's backed up by something. That's real love. It might be a gesture. And it might be an encouragement. It could even be an action or a sacrifice. But in the Bible, it says that God is love, which is a little bit weird when we're talking about God is love. We're talking about these actions. But God can be summarized as love because that's his nature. Everything about him exudes love. Love is created by God. And tonight, if you don't remember anything else I say, I want you to know that God loves you so much. And I want to expand a little bit, if you keep listening, why this is actually the case. Because it says in the Bible that he knit you together in your mother's womb. He actually cares for you. He knows how many number of hairs on your head are there, which is crazy. And even though you might stuff up, you might make mistakes, make some poor choices, this does not change one bit on how much God loves you. So therefore, we don't have to ask, is this love for real? God is actually loves us and he's actually backed it up with action. You might have heard this verse, you can even repeat it as I say, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave up his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that's like one of the most translated pieces of literature of all time. It's translated into 200-odd different languages. Actually, I just made up that stat, but there's a lot of different languages. I don't know how many there are, but a lot of different languages. And if we're to expand that verse, John 3:16, that's so foundational. If you're a follower of Jesus, that verse, if we expand it, God created us. He loved us so much that he created us with the ability to make our own decisions. We weren't robots. But with that, since the start of time with Adam and Eve in the garden choosing that fruit, we actually choose to go against God and we'll choose to go against God in the future. And this actually affects the relationship we can have with a perfect God. And so there's nothing we can do to fix this ourselves, to fix this separation. But rather, God didn't want to leave us separated with him. He wanted to rectify this situation. So he sent his only son, Jesus, to come down to earth. He came down from a pretty good gig up in heaven to come down, to be born as a human, a baby, to go through toilet training, to go through puberty, have pimples on his face, just so that he could rectify the situation. And he lived a far different life than any of us before. He lived a perfect life. He didn't do anything wrong. And unlike our wrongs, there are consequences for these. And instead of us having to face this punishment for all the wrong things we do, the poor choices, the things that we do against God, to face this separation from God, he actually took on these consequences, these mistakes, and he actually died on a cross in our place, taking that punishment for us. So therefore, we can actually have close relationship with him. And he didn't just die on the cross, he actually rose from the dead so that death has no hold on us. And therefore, we are forgiven. Therefore, the things that we do, that we've done, and that we do in the future do not define us, but rather the things that God says about us, the fact that he loves us, That actually defines us. And we actually can have eternal life for anyone who chooses to believe in him. It says that in that John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is real love equaling real action. Tap the person on the left and the right and say, real love equals real action. Awesome. It's funny seeing some people go try to do both at once. But what is our response? So therefore, if God has shown us real love with real action, how are we actually to respond to this if we choose to believe in him? And back in Jesus' day, they're all Jews, and there was these people called the Pharisees. They were the teachers, the keepers of the law. And they sort of added to the laws of the day, and they made it really hard to follow God. And they were really more about glorifying themselves than God. And so they were out to test Jesus one day. And they asked Jesus this question. What is the greatest commandment? E.g., how should we live our lives? Bring it down nice and simple. And if we look at Matthew 22, 37 to 39, Jesus responds with this cracking response. If we read it, it's on the screen right there. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus summarized all of these different things that the people were trying to do in just to simply really to love God and to love others. And so it says first there, we're called to love God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And then I'm going to focus on the second bit, to love your neighbor as yourself. I don't know about you, but neighbours can be a little bit odd. Like sometimes you have great relationships with your neighbours. Some of you might be almost best friends with your next door neighbour or the ones across the road. Maybe the ones behind on your back fence. But sometimes you can have no idea who these people are. They live right next to you, yet you don't know how many pets they have. You don't know how many people live in there. You have no idea about them. And I know for myself, this was the case. I was best friends with some of my neighbours. We'd go together and we'd play Mario Kart together, we'd get on our green machines. But there was the neighbor behind us. We didn't really know them at all. So one day when I was about 8, I decided to start climbing on the back fence, because that's what you do when you're 8. You just climb stuff. You see a tree, you climb it. You see a fence, you climb it. So I climbed up on the bin, climbed up on this fence. I started mucking around a bit and I fell backwards. And it was like I fell into a different land. Like I didn't fall into our backyard, but I fell into theirs. And I just started freaking out. I'm like, what am I going to do? I was too small to get back over this fence. So I'm sort of like scratching up the fence, trying to work out what to do. And after about 5 minutes, I'd almost thought to myself, I'm just going to have to live here. And then my neighbor comes out. And my neighbor actually thought it was like a large koala or something that was scratching on the back fence. But rather it was me. And I remember my parents always telling me, don't talk to strangers. So I'm sort of a bit awkward with it. And she's like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, I fell over the fence. Bit awkward, but... So then she leads me through her house to walk around the block to get back to my house. And it's really odd. I'm walking through this stranger's house. I don't know if you've ever walked through a house that you don't know the person. Probably not often, unless you're robbing the joint or something. But I'm walking through this house. I'm like, I have no idea who this person is. I don't know their name. I don't know anything about them. And so when Jesus says, love your neighbor, it's sometimes for us, it's like, what does neighbor mean? And so Jesus clarified this. Someone asked him back in his day, who is our neighbor? If we're meant to love our neighbor, who is that? And you might have heard this story of the Good Samaritan. This guy who was a Samaritan, he helped this Jew that was on the side of the road that had been hurt. And it wasn't that they're close. In fact, the Samaritans had a different religion. They had a different race, and they were actually enemies. So Jesus was really trying to highlight that he was telling the people that this Good Samaritan was a neighbor. This Jew was his neighbor. And therefore, he was trying to tell us that everyone is our neighbor. So that really is Jesus telling us that we are to love everyone, no matter their race, no matter their religion, and no matter their age. This extends to people that we don't talk to, people that we don't get along to, maybe people that don't have as many friends as us, that made some poor choices. And so often in our lives, it's so easy to go, love your friends as yourself, those that are easy to get along with. How much easier is it to love people that are easy to get along with, isn't it? But Jesus really wanted to flip it on its head. And one of the greatest sermons that he ever gave, he was up on this hill. And he really wanted to highlight this idea of neighbor, how it extended to everyone. And if we read it in Matthew 5:44, it says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." So everyone was actually to include your enemies, even those who wrong you. And it even says to pray for those who persecute you, those who wrong you. I wonder, have you ever considered for praying for someone that's insulted you, someone that's hurt you, someone that you don't get along with? This is what Jesus is telling us to do in love. How crazy is that? It's so countercultural. So often we hear that revenge is sweet, to get even with those who wrong us. And I know for myself, going through high school, in about year 10, I had this kid that would just bully me. He was so much bigger than me, push me around. And sometimes I didn't want to go to school. I remember telling Mum, "Nah, I'm not going to school today." I was terrified that he'd beat me up. And if I'd read this verse saying that I should pray for this kid, nah, heck no. I was not thinking of doing that at all. And this is so challenging by Jesus to love everyone. And I'm not talking about that we should accept abuse. We should never be taken advantage of. And if this occurs, it should be acted with the appropriate way. But as believers of God, we're actually called to love everyone, to even pray for those who disagree with us, those who wrong us. And it's sometimes not easy. And I'm not talking about this selfish prayer where you're, "Dear God, I pray that they get hit by a bolt of lightning, maybe a car. If they could just break their leg, but I'll settle for a broken finger." No. I'm talking about a prayer that says, "Dear God, help me to love them as you love me. And I pray that they actually get to know Christ's love for themselves, acknowledging that Christ actually died on the cross for them as he did for you." And maybe this brings someone to mind in your life that maybe has wronged you, and I really consider to praying for them. And I know that that's not an easy thing, but know that you have the support of a loving God. And therefore, how can we show real love with real action to others? I've talked about this idea of praying for someone that maybe have wronged you. I just want to give you a few other practical tips. Firstly is to respond with a love mindset. So how do we have a love mindset? What's your first response when someone wrongs you or says something to you? Maybe it's you get home from school and your mum asks you to clean your room or something like that. And I don't know about you, but the first thing I do is just like, stop annoying me, mum. Stop annoying me. You lash out. Maybe you say a word that you shouldn't have. Maybe your little brother teases you a bit and you lash out in anger. Or maybe you hear something from someone who said something about someone and you immediately jump to the worst conclusion. And you immediately act out in anger, even though you might not even have all the facts. I want to say to us today, if we're to love everyone, we have to have this love mindset that our first instinct is to love others, to give a benefit of the doubt. Maybe we actually maybe need to take a deep breath, take a second to not fly off the handle. And do we have a mindset of love? How can we respond in love? And secondly is to look for opportunities. So there are so many opportunities in your life to love others. It could be in your school, it could be with your friends, it could be in your sporting teams, the list goes on and on. And if you are so serious about this idea of loving everyone, loving God, loving others, I dare you each morning to pray to God and say, "Dear God, give me an opportunity to love someone." And I bet you God will give you an opportunity, a challenging one maybe, but it's such a great opportunity to partner with God with that. And thirdly, as followers of Jesus, we are to represent Christ. So it says in 2 Corinthians 3:2, "You yourselves are a letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone." So there's plenty of people that you know that don't read the Bible. And if you gave them a Bible, they might even just rip it up. They're not going to read it, especially in these days. But do know that they do read your letter. It sounds a bit weird, but your heart every day. They get to see how God is actually at work in your life, the love he has for you, and the way that you actually get to display this to others. And you could have a family member, a friend, or someone else that you're praying for to experience this love in their lives, praying for opportunities to share about him to them. And maybe you're not seeing anything, but know that they actually get to see God working in your life, to see the love and the hope that you have. And I just want to put it to you tonight to don't give up. What an opportunity that you have. And in all of this, we do not love others so that we can lift our own name up, so that people can say, "Wow, he's amazing. Look at him, how he's so nice." But rather it's so we can actually point people to Jesus and say, "He is the reason for this love." And so that those people can actually experience that love for themselves. And sometimes, I don't know about you, even this week, I'm preparing this message on love, and there's probably a couple of opportunities that I missed opportunities. I responded not in love. But we need to know that we don't get caught up in this, and to know that we will make mistakes. There'll be times that we won't respond in love, but to know that God gives us grace, He forgives us. And as we shared in John 3:16, that doing things is not what gets us right with God and to heaven, but rather choosing to believe and follow God. Again, we love as not something to earn God's favor, but as an opportunity to respond to what He has done. I'm going to finish up soon-ish, but why should we actually love others? I don't know about you, but this year, I want to love others. I want people to experience God's love. Imagine what excess would look like if we were to show real love with real action. People would be included, people would be loved, people would be valued. I want to see new people walk in and go, wow, there's something different about this place. People are interested in me. People are chatting to me. I don't feel left out. I feel valued. I feel loved. And I'm not saying that so we can get more and more people come along and put on different events, but I want to see more young people experience the love of Christ that He has for them, to see their lives transformed. And with that, imagine if your schools, your friendships, your sporting teams would look like this, if we all committed to loving God and to loving others. Love changes lives. If you've experienced love in your own life, it's infectious. You want to share that love with someone else. And I want us to spur each other on in love. In Hebrews 10:24, it says, "Let us consider how we spur each other on in love and good deeds." Being around love is infectious. And I want excess. Let's be known for our love in the way that we love God and we love others. So what does it look like for you today to show real love in your life? Maybe do you need to forgive someone? Maybe do you need to change a behavior? Consider including someone that's on the outside. Maybe it's saying sorry to a parent for all the times that you've lashed out. Or maybe trying out this love mindset. Hey, I'm not going to lash out and respond in hate and anger, but I'm actually going to try first instinct to try with love. And maybe it's that difficult one of trying out praying for someone that you don't get along with. But know in everything that you do, that you have the full support of a loving God who loves you more than what you could ever imagine. And He was actually willing to send His Son to die on a cross to be in a relationship with you. He showed real love with real action. So I just don't want to miss an opportunity tonight to give you an opportunity to respond. So would you just bow your heads with me for a second and shut your eyes? And maybe tonight, as I'm speaking about real love, this is the first time that you've ever thought of this or even considered believing in God. And I just want to give you an opportunity in a second to stand up and to accept Christ as your Savior for the first time. And maybe you've heard of this real love, and tonight, this is the night you want to accept this love that God has for you. Maybe you're feeling like there's something missing in your life, and you want to experience life to the full and the real love that God offers. Maybe you've tried things in your own strength. You've tried things. You've made mistakes. But now you acknowledge that you need God in your life, and you choose to follow Him tonight. And all we need to do is choose to believe in Him. It says in John 3:16, whoever chooses to believe will not perish but have eternal life. So if that's you tonight, I encourage you to respond physically, to stand up to your feet right now, to accept Jesus and the love that He has for you. This is one of the most important decisions you can ever make. It's life-changing. And I want to give you an opportunity right now, as I'm speaking now, if that's you, to stand to your feet, and I'd love to pray for you in that, to know that God loves you, and that, yeah, He died on the cross, and that nothing defines you, but rather God's love defines you. Let's pray. And if this is the first time that you've ever responded, or if you've responded in the past, just repeat these words after me. Dear God, I acknowledge I need you. I acknowledge that tonight, this is a night that I accept you as my Savior. I acknowledge that I've done things my own way, but tonight I choose to follow you. Thank you that you have died on the cross for me, and that now I am forgiven, and my slate is clean. Dear God, I just choose to follow you in my life. and help me and know that you are with me every step of the way. Amen.